Welcome, you're the Vox, the psychic from Vox.org. Welcome to the show tonight. It's May 28th, 2007, and Monday night as well. And it's good to be back with you guys. It's been a really busy week. Oh my God. Well, I've got some good news. And part of it is that magic works. And you know that I say that all the time, but I'm not one of those psychics that just says, oh yeah, magic works, who has a crummy life to show for it. I always think if magic really works, your life should be pretty much an example of how it works and how well it works. And not so much about burning candles or oils necessarily, or waving a wand, or jumping over a fire. Sometimes magic that you can do, and the most magic that you can do, most powerful kind, is in your head, to transform not only yourself, but people around you and the circumstances in which you're living. So, with that said, I was able to manifest a new house. Yes. May 1st, remember I told you guys how powerful it was, and Walpurgis knocked. I did a show, I think, that night. And April 30th is Walpurgis knocked, and it's, you know, Witch's Eve. It's the most powerful day, I think, of the whole pagan year. And how I celebrated was very simple. I went outside, and I guess it was about 5 minutes to midnight. I was really exhausted. I didn't have, like, enough energy to set up an altar or do anything really amazing. My boyfriend woke me up about 5 minutes to midnight on Walpurgis knocked. And said, you better go out there and do your magic, you know, because I told him I wanted to go out there and invoke the Queen of the Fairies. Not something I ordinarily do. I mostly do a lot of thelemic magic, a lot of powerful stuff, and really super serious magic. That's just the way I am. But I went out this particular night, and I did some fairy magic. And it was very simple. Most of it was just willed. Went out to the garden behind my building where I was living. And I just sat there and meditated, and I just kept going into like a trance state till I saw, and I'm not on crack, and I'm not on drugs, and I don't drink alcohol. Yeah, I'm boring. And there I was, and there all the little fairies were in my garden, and Queen Mab came out. Yeah, I know. You think I'm insane. Whatever. But I saw Queen Mab, and she was riding on a white horse and rode right through the garden. And she asked me what I wanted, and I told her what I wanted. And then she told me, out of the clear blue sky, like, you're going to be living with the fairies. And I'm like, well, West Hollywood is down the street. Kabong. I was like, okay, whatever. You know, it was kind of weird. Now, when I say that I hear stuff and I see stuff, do I physically see it? Do I physically hear it? And the answer is, not really. I see it in my head. I see it like with my third eye. And I hear information as if it was being spoken to me, but it's not inside my head. And the voices don't tell me to kill people, thank God. So, that's a good thing. But the weird thing is that I'm like, okay, whatever. And whenever I get that kind of information in a magical setting, I don't believe it and I don't disbelieve it. I just go, oh, okay. Aleister Crowley, famous mystic, used to say, lust not for result, for lust assuaged of result is in every way perfect. So in other words, you can want what you want, but don't get so attached to it that you have to have it. You just got to let it go. Anyway, as I went back inside, I woke up my boyfriend. I said, hey, so we're moving. And he goes, oh, well, that's great. It's like, how the hell is that going to happen? But anyway, the weird thing is, a couple of days later, we started looking around for places to live and found some cool places, but none of them turned out to work. And then finally, I called one of my good friends, Larry Pines, the great astrologer. And I said, so what do you think, Larry? What's going on? Because once in a while, you want to get another psychic or astrologer's opinion, not because you don't know yourself, but it's always kind of nice. And Larry said, you'll be living in a new house within 24 days. And I thought, well, that's cool, but it really wasn't panning out, I got to tell you. So anyway, we just kind of went about our way and stuff and looked and looked and looked. And finally, found this kind of unassuming place, and it's not a place I would have actually looked at that hard, but I thought, you know, you better call him right now. So my boyfriend calls, sets up an appointment, we go see the place, and it's this really amazing place, right? So we go upstairs, and as soon as I see the front door, there's like a huge sun mat on there, which is like a huge solar astrological symbol. And the number on that door was 6. That was a good sign, Tifereth, from the Tree of Life. And I thought, wow, this is cool. Then I looked to the left of me, and there's a huge courtyard with just amazing plants and beautiful flowers and everything, really lush. And I'll be damned, the whole place was filled with statues of fairies. Fairies galore. I mean, it was kind of almost ridiculous. There was like even these huge statues of mushrooms and cats, and it was totally insane, but really beautiful and totally magical. And I just started laughing, like, Queen Mab, yeah, no kidding. So we wound up really digging the place, called up, and that's my new home, where all the little fairies are dancing in the garden. And it's the most amazing place I've ever been. It's just got this huge private patio, fairies all over, really nice neighbors, and one of my neighbors is a Kabbalist. Go figure. And it's just like so cool. You know, so you're moving from a place where it's like not really feeling so great. Negative energy has been around where I've been at for a little while. And so I went out and did the fairy magic, and I'll be damned. There it was, living in fairyland. It's pretty damn cool, I gotta tell you. So we're pretty happy and pretty stoked. And it's a much more magical scenario. So for those of you out there who don't believe in magic, trust me. It's magical thinking that does everything. You can burn all the candles, you know, you want. You can light incense. You can jump over fires. You can do whatever the hell you want. But if you don't attune your mental headset to the magic and how it can manifest, not try to force it, you know, you're never going to get the magical result that you want without being open and just throwing it out there and believing. The weirdest thing of all, it was like, you know, just walk in, get this place. The landlord totally dug us. We dug him. And the funny thing was, my friend Larry was right, because I signed, we signed a lease on the 24th. And Larry said he saw the number 24. And it just so happened to be the Buddha's birthday. So go fig. What can I say? It was pretty amazing. I really enjoyed it. So that's a little bit of magical reality for you. Anyway, so if you guys want to call, give me a call at 323-284-5166. And depending on how many people have problems or are out there right now or want to call, I may shorten the show tonight to 30 minutes if people are out partying or doing whatever, because today is Memorial Day. And also, in light of the fact that it is Memorial Day, I wanted to point out the fact that finally the very first pentacle has been placed on the first veteran's grave. I can't remember the guy's name. Oh, yes, I do. Jeremy Birnbaum. Because I thought, how can anybody forget that? That's his grave. Anyway, we have a caller right now, so let's check it out. Hey, you're with Vox. What's up?
Hey, how are you, Vox?
I'm doing great. What's going on, my friend?
Not too much. It's Justin Bunn. I actually added you on Facebook and MySpace.
Oh, cool. Hey, Justin.
How's it going? Oh, everything's going well.
Yeah, so my first letter from you was, hi, I'm quitting Facebook.
I just found that it was taking up too much precious time that I could be reading with. So,
yeah, or you could be hanging out on MySpace instead.
Oh yeah, you know. Right.
Actually, the weirdest thing is, I don't know what it is. I joined Facebook and I kind of like it because when I post up my blogs and stuff for my show, it automatically, you know, puts all the info on there for me at Facebook, and MySpace doesn't do that.
Yeah, I noticed but that on your page, like it takes your all the notes that you do everywhere else and puts it there. So,
which is really cool. But I've got like 3 friends on Facebook. Okay. Now I lost one of them because you quit.
Oh, there you go.
You traitor. But the weird thing is, I really like MySpace, and I actually have some really cool friendships going on over there, and it just fucking baffles me because, you know, it's like, Jesus Christ, it's MySpace. How deep can it get? But I have formed some really nice friendships over there, and I think it's just a different vibe. But I do agree that you can get obsessed.
Yeah, exactly. So
what's going on with you, my friend?
Not too much. I just thought I would call in and check out the show. So I listen regularly. So yeah.
Oh, cool. So you're in Canada, right?
In Canada, yeah, in Toronto.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So you're a guitar player. I know that, not just psychically, because I checked out your profile.
I'm a guitar player, yes.
And you're doing all the total rock star moves. I saw the photos. That's all the romantic, sexual casualties you've left by the way.
Oh, it, you know, it happens in this, this crazy world.
That's so, yeah. Pretty funny.
I also checked out your case too, as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, you should definitely link up to me over there and stuff. But you want to check out any cool questions or any crazy magical ideas?
I guess kind of some of the things that I'm wondering about these days are more career and relationship wise.
Okay, let's check out the career thing and see what's going on. Now, what's your birthday?
My birthday is August 8th, 1983.
Well, that's much, much luckier than August 5th and August 6th, trust me.
I've actually been kind of delving more into astrology lately, and I found out recently that my sun, my moon, and my my rising sign are all Leo.
Wow. So you're very modest and laid back, then, I take it.
Yeah.
A veritable wallflower.
Yeah.
My engineer's over here laughing, going, yeah, right, sure. But the interesting thing is that, I mean, you're definitely doing what you love, and you're very good at it. No, I have never heard your music yet, so I'm not just kissing your ass, but you got the Magus over here with the Two of Discs and the Two of Cups, which, you know, definitely inspired, extremely technical player as well. You should probably have some kind of formal knowledge on some level.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't look like just some guy who just doesn't know what he's doing. So you're faking it pretty good.
Yeah, hey, you know, that's, you got to look cool. It can't be all technical, right?
Exactly. Man, you got some great cards. You got Adjustment, the Tarot, and also the Empress. So are you also writing a lot?
I mean, lately I actually have been. Within the last couple of days, I'm trying to put kind of my own stuff together and try and see if I can get that going rather than... What I'm doing now is more playing with people and doing session work and stuff like that. So, but I'd prefer to be kind of getting my own thing going.
Now, according to this, I just pulled the Ten of Discs, so it shows that you're going to be dealing with contracts pretty soon.
Okay.
And have you gotten a publishing deal yet or not?
Have I got a publishing deal yet? No.
Yeah. Well, it shows that that's definitely where it's headed. You got the Three of Swords on the bottom, which is always really great for any kind of musical endeavors, especially like really rootsy, really gutsy kind of playing, things of that nature. Also, the Ten of Discs usually shows that you have the opportunity to get music put on compilations.
Right.
Or in films and television. And that's probably where, like, the financial aspect of the contracts and the publishing is coming in.
Okay, interesting. Excellent.
Yeah. Now, you definitely have to, like, I would say we got the Seven of Swords on top. It is definitely showing you want to make sure that you're not getting ripped off. So I would really strongly suggest getting, like, legal representation right now.
Okay.
Ahead of time, you know. And also it shows that it seems like a lot of the ideas that you wind up dealing with, a lot of them come from you. And it feels like some other people are getting more out of you than you're getting out of writing with them.
Right, okay.
You know? So it's kind of like you're giving it away a little bit.
I've kind of been feeling too lately is like, you know, I'm not kind of seeing my self-worth, I guess, so.
Yeah, it kind of sucks because you're coming up with some really cool shit. And you got the Three of Wands, very inventive and really cool with riffs that are coming up. Now, what's the blues element in what you're playing besides
the fact that
you're... I've always,
like, ever since I started playing guitar, that's where I kind of started from.
Okay,
so
that makes sense.
Like, the stuff that I'm starting to do now is very, not so bluesy, but really, like, 60s Cream and Sabbath influence kind of stuff, so...
Yeah, and we know that, you know, like, Clapton and all those guys really started out with the blues.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I've never seen the blues come out with a Three of Wands before, because it's kind of unusual, but it really reminds me of, like, the riff rock kind of stuff. And you really seem to come up with some cool stuff. It's almost kind of reminding me a little bit more of Zeppelin or something, you know?
That can't be bad at all.
Yeah, and the Ten of Wands shows that heavy metal vibe, too.
Okay.
Even though it seems like some of it can be passé, I really don't think that it is. It's pretty rocking, and it's pretty sincere. I think you can kind of tell when somebody's just trying to write a riff to be cool.
Right.
And yours don't really come off that way. And you may also start winding up dreaming about different kind of elements to your songs as well. And it shows a lot of intuition. So I really don't have a hard time believing you've done this before, you know? Because it kind of seems second nature to you.
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of the way that I've felt my this life entirely. Like, this probably isn't the first time that...
Now, this is going to sound really absolutely fucking ridiculous, but I mean, and I can't prove it, okay, but I'm going to tell you why I'm saying this. You got the death card, the devil, and the lover's card. I get a feeling you were a black guy before playing your fucking ass off for 2 cents, and you said, screw this shit, I'm coming back as a white boy and get paid for this shit.
That doesn't surprise me at all, because somebody else told me the same thing. Are you serious?
I mean, this is so weird. I mean, it's a really powerful reading. I mean, honestly, you can't really get better than the cards you're getting right now. The most important thing is that you have been ripped off in other lives.
Right.
And I can't prove it. But you can kind of tell in your life. I mean, you seem to have been blessed with good looks. You have a style. You have a kind of swagger. But you're kind of also a nice guy. You know, it's kind of weird to have a nice kind of combination. There's no reason for you to not be able to make it pretty damn big. I would say between this birthday, this coming year, and your birthday of 2008, I really think you're going to put yourself like square on the map. You got the Three of Cups showing real contracts coming up, opportunities, money, real work. And I feel like it's going to be your thing.
Like it's going to be something that it's kind of my baby rather than.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Now, here's the deal. This happens to you every time, according to the Nine of Swords. Every time you get close to making it, you kind of hook up with somebody else, and then they just kind of draw your wagon onto their path.
Right. Okay.
Okay? This time, anybody else who wants to join your band is the Justin Bunn Experience.
Right.
Make sure they don't switch that shit in the middle. Because you really hate the business side. Because you're more of a real artist.
Yeah, I just kind of want to get down to playing and have that side of it be.
But you can't go that way. Unless you want to turn out like somebody like Lenny Bro. Laughter all around. Yes.
Yeah,
you don't want to turn out like that, because this is a person who could not handle business finances whatsoever.
I don't think he could handle cooking craft dinner.
No, he couldn't.
Yeah.
Actually, that was somebody else's job. But the deal is that you don't want to turn out like that. So instead of looking at being an artist as like either or proposition, recognize the Chet Atkins vibe where, you know, you should be like handling your own affairs.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Take care of yourself. Now, this is not a joke. I mean, I don't know if you know anything about Merle Travis.
Yeah.
Okay, because I felt like you should.
Mm-hmm.
Merle Travis was, for the listeners out there who don't know what the hell I'm talking about, Merle Travis was the original Chet Atkins, and even Chet Atkins literally said that he stole everything he knew from Merle Travis.
Well, I mean, the style is called Travis picking, and that's
exactly
kind of where it comes from, right?
I don't give a shit who calls me about this, but Les Paul also ripped off the humbucking pickup from Merle Travis as well. Just letting you know, and yes, I absolutely have concrete proof, and I have first-hand information about this crazy shit I'm saying. But I'm telling you, who the hell knows who Merle Travis is?
Yeah, it's like one of those things, right? Like,
you know, Justin Bunn and Vox and maybe three other people. You know, that's just total bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, so like, let's don't go that route, okay, my friend? Because it really is just like screaming from your cards. Like, you got to make sure that you recognize that being a businessman is also an art.
Right.
And if you really want to get good karma for everybody, you don't want somebody stealing your shit and making a buck off you, because they're going to wind up having to pay for it later.
Right.
So just, you know, get in there, even learn some basic business skills, get yourself a good lawyer. And even after you get a lawyer and a manager or an agent, you still need to check up on what the hell they're doing.
Right.
You know, maybe not maniacally. Okay.
It's kind of like regularly keep tabs of what's going on, and
yeah, because you really don't like that stuff. That's not what you became a guitar player for, but it's too damn bad.
Yeah.
I mean, let's get real. Look at Jimmy Page. Who owns everything? Who owns the name Led Zeppelin?
Who at one time owned Boleskine House?
Yeah. Screw that. Who owns the name the Yardbirds?
Yeah. There you go.
Hello.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a hardcore musical conversation we're having. But, you know, and there's a lot of listeners out there who do know who, you know, owned Boleskine House. That's Crowley's original only home that he ever owned. in Scotland, near Inverness. But the deal is, it's, you know, he owns the name Led Zeppelin. He knows, he owns every fucking thing. And good Lord, how many times does he get like 20 cents every time they play Stairway to Heaven? He probably gets royalties every time you think about it.
No kidding. No kidding.
You know, so using your magic to protect yourself and getting that together, because my feeling, that's the only thing, Justin, that can keep you down.
Okay.
That's it. I mean, you got some amazing cards and some amazing energy around you. That's a very lucky birthday, and there's no reason in the world to not be sitting on top of the world. You know what I mean?
Okay. All right. So
let's check out the love life.
What's that?
Because let's check out your love life, because God knows.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If you want to check out any names of people, too, regarding your music or stuff, we can do that, too. Find out what's going on.
Any which, sorry?
Any kinds of people or specific questions about people that you're dealing with your music, you can check them out, too.
I guess the only thing that I'm really concerned with now is just finding people to play with, you know, who are kind of going to be with me in my stuff.
Well, don't be afraid to be like an asshole. Don't be afraid to say, look, this is what I want.
Yeah.
Okay? You don't buy some furniture or like go to the guy at the head place in the furniture and say, oh, you know, just deliver whatever you think I might like.
Right.
And just put it wherever.
Right.
Say, look, I'm looking for somebody who can shred, who can do this, who can do that. And say, also, who's going to do it for free for 6 months?
Yeah.
Or however much. Okay, or say, you know, paid rehearsals, $10. Okay, but it's paid.
There you go.
Okay, you can say stuff like that. All right, anything that gets written in this room, I'm bringing the riffs. You know, if you want to share publishing with people, if they want to write their own part, fine. If not, my suggestion earlier was you write the songs. You're Barry Manilow, okay? And you write them. You write them down, put down all the tabs, put down the chord changes, then it's your fucking song.
Right.
And then if asshole wants to put like 3 notes in the bass line, so fucking what? It's still your song.
My song, exactly.
And he's not getting arrangement credit.
Right.
Okay, this is not Radiohead, where Colin Greenwood writes amazing fucking bass lines, but he's also getting 1/5 of the publishing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
However much percentage of the Radiohead, yeah.
Yeah, they split it 5 ways, dude.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They split it 5 ways. And, you know, I could never fucking figure out Ed's point. You know, he's kind of cute, but he's not worth a 1/5 publishing deal for Radiohead, but I'm sorry. But I digress. You know, so this is what you need to do, and just lay it out flat. And if you can find somebody who's willing to say they're your manager, that's also okay with me. Because if you have somebody who can deflect, you know, because you hate to be the asshole that everybody hates.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Say, oh, here's the asshole you can hate. Here's a guy who told me that you guys can't get any publishing, that you're going to get this, this, and this, and you're going to pass the road test, and then blah, blah, blah. And then in 6 months when we get some gigs. You know, when you play gigs, obviously you're going to pay these guys.
Yeah, yeah, totally, yeah.
You know what I mean? And be fair with them. You know, but like up front, say, hey, this is the testing phase, and don't be afraid to do that. And then keep it all to yourself, because if you don't, you're just another glorified cute guitar player. Who fucking cares?
Right.
You know? Get real. And everybody and their brother can play sessions.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You have Elliot Randall, who is one of the greatest fucking session players in the universe.
Yeah.
Nobody even knows who the hell that guy is.
Yeah, exactly.
He's the guy who wrote all the great stuff for Steely Dan, you know? Nobody knows who this guy is. And I mean, if you weren't a Leo and you were cool about being in the background and you weren't good looking and you couldn't rip some shit, I'd say just be quiet, be a session player, and just go sit in the corner and be brilliant.
Right, right.
But that's not you.
That's not me, exactly.
You know what I mean? Now, are you really this good of a singer or what?
That's, you know, I can sing and I've been thinking about it, but I kind of don't want to be the front guy. I don't know What are your kind of thoughts on that?
I'm feeling that you should really step up to the plate.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You may not have like insane range and stuff like that per se, but there's something about you singing, even if it's not that much, you know, like Stevie Ray or something. He wasn't the world's greatest singer, but man, when he was singing and he was playing, it was just like,
you could feel,
you know, Jimi Hendrix wasn't the world's greatest singer.
Yeah,
holy shit, man.
I grew up on Hendrix. That's kind of
But you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was more his phrasing. And there's just something about you singing when you're playing your guitar that just people just get knocked out.
Okay.
You know, so I'm saying, like, let's step up to the plate. If I really didn't think you had star quality, I would just say, hey, dude, you're really great, but you're not a star. And you could just make me wrong later on. You know, you could do whatever the hell you want. But you have it, and it's very rare to get that much of a 5-star rating from me as a musician. So I'm just letting you know, you really have what it takes to reach the top. You've done it before. This is time to get paid for it and enjoy yourself.
Okay.
You know, right. And ultimately, you know that you got to get out of Canada for longer stretches, you know, right?
Yeah, totally.
I mean, you know, Avril Lavigne, Alanis Morissette, that's great, but they wouldn't be half as big as they are right now if they hadn't split for a while.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the U.S. is kind of where it's at. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of pathetic because the United States has, like, the shittiest fucking, you know, taste in music. Okay? But you have to get heard down here.
Yeah.
You know, and England is also another great place for you for some weird reason. But you really got it going on, man. That's pretty cool. Okay. So, little final tidbits?
As far as the music thing goes, I think that's cool. Just, yeah.
And any other stuff, like what, the relationship stuff, right?
Yeah, just kind of what's happening.
Well, now, the deal is you're not very faithful, per se. And I don't even have the cards turned over yet, dude.
I think I'm pretty faithful.
Yeah, right. Sure. I'm going to get one of your exes on one of these days to call you some names. But the most important thing is you got to stay away from the people that you've already had relationships with. You got the Eon card. The Moon card and Swiftness, which is 8 of Wands. So things are starting to heat up kind of quickly over here. So there's more than one person that's just relatively recently come into your life. So do you know who those people are?
Possibly. I mean, there's
one. You're like, you're dealing with groups now.
there's one past relationship that was a pretty huge relationship as far as. Well, I mean, this is the biggest of my entire life, so.
Now, what's this person's birthday?
Scorpio.
You had to wait? You had to, like, hesitate. Scorpio? Yeah, that would definitely do it to you. Now, people are going to know who you are because you've just been a total fool and said your first and last name on my show. But, of course, it could be a pseudonym or something. But just letting you know that guys are attracted to you, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, just letting you know, in case you're trying to figure that out. Now, Scorpios could see you coming a mile away. Okay? And all I could say about that person is you were horribly manipulated, even if you kind of enjoyed it for a while. But this is somebody who definitely kind of put the screws to you.
Right.
And that's the person I was talking about, you know, old relationships. You need to move forward and let those go.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And good luck convincing you.
Yeah.
You know you're not going to listen to a damn thing I say. You're just calling me up just to see what the hell I'm going to say.
I want to listen. How about that?
I want to. I want to do the right thing, but I just will not do it.
Yeah.
You know. Now this person's going to come out of the woodwork as soon as you make it big, dude. It's going to be right now. Sometimes you're thinking, "Oh God, I hope this person never leaves my life. Oh my God, I'll just die if this person never leaves my life." And it's like, listen, this person's never going to fucking leave your life, okay? Any more than Judas Iscariot was leaving Jesus Christ alone. It's not a good thing that this person is never leaving your life,
okay?
This person's always going to remind you of, like, you know, like that Human League song, like, "You'd be nothing without me" or some crap, you know?
Right.
I don't know. I just think this person makes you nuts.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't mean that they're a bad person. I have a hard time believing there's any really bad people, except for my former neighbors. But there's mostly just bad combinations of people, not really horrible people. But this person really knows how to manipulate the hell out of you.
Okay.
And I don't like it, because I think you revert really quickly.
Yeah.
When this person's around, and I don't think it's good. So if you ever want to just completely, like, cut them loose, you can just blame it on me. So I'm sorry my psychic won't let me talk to you.
There you go.
It's the Vox excuse. And this person, like I said, you know, good luck ever getting rid of them. You know?
Yeah.
Okay. What can I tell you? But who's the other person?
I'm trying to think who the other person might be. Somebody I met recently.
Yeah, because it shows like more than one person kind of hanging out in your life. But it seems like it's really hard to get you really motivated to get into relationships. It's kind of like you get comfy, and you, even if it sucks, you just stick around.
Okay.
You know? So I just say keep on getting out there and start dating around a little bit more. I know Leos are like serial monogamists, you know, and then they get obsessed and with other people and things like that. But the most important thing, though, is just concentrating right now on your music.
Okay.
You know, because keep it for the music and just be selfish, you know. But if you can, try to stay away from the Scorpio. It's really not a good relationship for you. I've seen way worse, trust me.
Okay.
It's not tragic. It's just like kind of a waste of your time, ultimately, you know.
Okay.
So the word for the day is you got the Leo card, Prince of Wands. Bingo. You know that card, right?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, it's the symbol of the beast on his chest. That's totally your card, dude. So I say go for it, and let me know how things work out for you, okay?
It definitely will. I will definitely stay in touch with you. Thanks so much, Vox.
Oh, yeah. Hey, also, make sure to join the forum and stuff, and let us know what's going on with you.
Definitely.
Okay, take care, Justin.
You too. Thanks so much, Vox.
93, my friend. Bye-bye.
93.
So you're with Vox the Psychic. Give me a call, 323-284-5166. And I'm thinking about doing a shorter show tonight, mostly because it's Memorial Day and everybody's out there partying and getting drunk and God knows what else they're doing. They're probably like Lindsay Lohan snorting some blow and crashing into trees and shit, you know. Hey, so guess what? It's countdown to Paris Hilton going to jail. I just can't wait. That's going to be fun. You guys got to check out my blog for that. I did some fun stuff with Mr. B. He helped me do my Photoshop version of the Ten of Wands with Paris Hilton sticking her hands out, like trapped by the Ten of Wands. But anyway, letting you know a few things here while we're still here. Right now, the sun's in Gemini, which is making you possibly feel kind of fun and wanting to go out and be adventurous. The moon's in Scorpio, and so try not to kill anybody, or at least if you do, just hide the evidence. And Mercury just entered, like about, 20 minutes ago? Mercury just entered Cancer, which is fantastic. Yay! For all you Scorpios, Cancers, and Pisces out there, really nice, big changes. As you can see, even myself going, changing homes and stuff. Venus is also in Cancer, very lovey-dovey and really wonderful. Mars is in Aries again, so you gotta, even so things are really nice, there's these little jags of emotion, so you might want to like keep your temper, try to meditate on something positive. Jupiter's in Sagittarius, so try not to eat too much chocolate. That's going to be happening till the end of the year anyway, so I'm not kidding. Saturn's in Leo, Uranus is in Pisces right now, Neptune's in Aquarius, Pluto's in Sag, and usually, like during the summer months, I guess Sagittarius is what's rising on the horizon when I start doing the show. But the cool thing, too, on Thursday around 9 p.m. is going to be the full moon in Sagittarius. So if you're going to change your phone number, you're going to do any kinds of cool trips and stuff, that would be a really great time to do it. It's going to be a lot of partying, so, you know, be careful. And just try not to flip out too hard. And if you do, just remember, you heard it over here. So anyway, I guess I'm going to like close the show kind of early tonight because I want to go out and party myself. I'm being so irresponsible. But it's Memorial Day, and I'm going to go out there and try to remember somebody. that's bad. I'm going to traipse around with the fairies. But anyway, I'll be back next Monday night between 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And you can also always reach me for private readings at 323-782-0222. And join the forum, vox.org, vox.org/forum. And join up and jump into the conversations. We've got some really cool people out there who've been doing a lot of posting, like Granny and Heather, and all my little friends out there. And other stuff you can write to me regarding dream interpretations, numerology, astrology. I also do psychic readings lots of different ways. And thanks to also to a lot of the people who have been buying a lot of the Goetia magical spell kits, because those are really rocking. And so if you guys need magical or ritual help, I also teach classes online or by phone. And yeah, they're the real fucking deal. And after about 12 weeks with me, you could be admitted to about second degree in any decent magical order, because it's hardcore stuff and it's the real deal. So it's always great teaching classes. And in the meantime, so I'm going to check out early today and I'll see you guys next week, Monday night. So till then, have a mystical, magical day.